Good afternoon, Year 11. It's Mr. Neil. Obviously, your English literature exam is tomorrow, and we thought we'd go through some of the key poems that might come up. One of those, of course, is Kamikaze. Now, Kamikaze is at the back of the anthologies. It's possibly a little bit neglected, but I'm going to spend a few minutes just going over what some of the key points you might want to raise should it come up in the exam. Now, the first thing you need to do in a poem is to make sure you look at the significance of the title, because a poet can spend quite a long time writing a poem, and their title has to be significant, much like a headline for a newspaper. Now, the word kamikaze comes from the Japanese meaning divine wind. That comes from a belief that the kamikaze were almost rescuing Japan from in their hour of most dire need. The kamikaze pilots were, of course, the pilots that loaded their aircraft up with bombs and fuel and flew them into American and British jets and into American and British boats in the Pacific, the tail end of World War II. It was a particularly effective method of combat because, first of all, it terrified the Allied forces, the British and the Americans, because how do you fight against an enemy that's not afraid to die? But also, apart from the psychological impacts, the idea of dying for your country is deeply rooted in a lot of different cultures, particularly Japanese, where honour was so, so important. We still see that today in Japanese society, where the idea of bowing before and after you meet somebody, there are terms of respect that you address people with. So honour is still a huge part of Japanese society. And the idea of turning down a kamikaze mission, which is exactly what the main character does in the poem, would bring untold shame and humiliation on himself and the family. Now, the poem's structure is chronological order, so it's a series of events. It's one long sentence that runs for five stanzas. Stanzas one through to five, unless I'm mistaken, I'm just looking for a full stop. No, stanzas one through five are all one sentence, which suggests that the person recounting the story is almost lost in thought. They're pondering, they're thinking about the event, they're spending so long thinking about it, they've kind of lost the structure. Because when you look at it on the surface, each line is six stanzas, or a sestrain, each line six stanzas, so there appears to be some regimentality, some order, some structure, as there would have been to a Japanese pilot in the Imperial Air Force or the Imperial Navy. But that's lost when you read it because it turns into this sort of long, rambling recount of the events. The use of caesura and enjambment throughout, again, highlight this structural irregularity despite the apparent rigidity on the surface. Now, the meaning is about Japanese culture and how important it was to serve your role as a kamikaze pilot. And it also explores the idea of honour, what was honourable. It also explores the correlation between the nation's conflict and the conflict that then caused at home. Because while Japan was at war, so that's the larger conflict, the conflict at home arose because the father chose to return home. Now, the poem is spoken in the third person. It talks about a woman who is recounting the story to her children about her father. So there are quite a few levels on which we need to think about how this best works. The poet is telling us about this woman telling her children about their grandfather or her father and how he went out on a mission as a kamikaze pilot from which he was never meant to return, but halfway he changed his mind and returned back, and the untold shame and horror that brought upon his family. And there are some key phrases and key words that I want to have a look at that will help you in your analysis of the poem. So first of all, the idea of sunrise in line one represents Japanese nationalism at the time, because the Japanese flag was and still is representative of the sun. Under the Imperial Japanese royal family, it was about the rising sun, which was the sun, the red circle on the white background with the rays of light coming out of it, whereas now it's been replaced for just a red circle on a white background, so it's just a sun. So sunrise is significant. The use of samurai sword in the cockpit and shaven head full of powerful incantations, this is all deeply symbolic of the warrior status of the Japanese. Samurai swords were carried by the samurai, who were like the warrior elite of Japanese culture. They were like knights, effectively, in British society. And so he was considered warrior elite if he was allowed to carry a samurai sword. It was, of course, symbolic, though, because there would have been no need for him to use a samurai sword. He wouldn't have been expected to be in hand-to-hand combat. It was symbolic of his status as the warrior elite. And then the significant part here is that the journey into history is changed halfway there. Because halfway, she thought, recounting it later to her children, he looked down and he's reminded, and this is where we see a link to nature, because the poem talks about the fish and the beach and the memory of the father coming back from fishing and all the things that he had caught. Again, this the power of nature to change man. So this pilot who's out, he's one of the warrior elite. He's a proud Japanese soldier going to rid the Pacific of these enemy invaders, which the British and American forces were. And it's nature that makes him change his mind and makes him turn around. And so we've got the swathes arcing in swathes like a huge flag, talking about the fish in the sea. And then again, this huge flag, which would have been representative of what would have been used to send the pilots off, launching from their aircraft carriers to attack the enemy. So they would have been launched by a flag. And then towards the end of the poem, line 25, it talks about, the end of the fourth stanza, to see who's withstood longest term, then bringing their father's boat safe. Yes, grandfather's boat. So it's as if there's clarification there, that the person retelling the story is then clarifying, your grandfather's boat, safe to the shore. And it's that, the returning of grandfather's boat, this memory that we think triggers the pilot to decide, yes, I want to be like my father and come back to my family, and I want them to welcome me at the beach as we did to my father. And of course that doesn't happen, because although he came back, my mother never spoke again in his presence, nor did she meet his eyes. And that is so important, not looking somebody in the eye. You know, it's not that the love was gone, it's not that the respect was gone. She didn't even treat him like a human being. She never met his eyes again, never looked him in the eye. They treated him as though he no longer existed. Only we children still chattered and laughed. So there's this irony that the children are ignorant of the significance of their father coming back, and they are happy to have their father back in the same way that the kamikaze pilot was happy for his father to come back. And that's the case initially. But then it says on line 37, till gradually we too learn to be silent, to live as though he had never returned, that this was no longer the father we loved. Which, when you think about, this draws a link to the idea of conflict between society's expectations and the expectations of the family, because any child would be ecstatic to see their father come back from war. But to then have to learn that by coming back he had brought shame and honour, shame and dishonour to the family, would have been a very difficult lesson for those children to learn. And I think the most poignant line of the poem is the final line, line 42, where it says, he must have wondered which had been the better way to die. So it was as if he was dead anyway. Even though he came back, eventually he was effectively dead. And that is because of his love for his family. That he was treated that way and that he acted upon it. Now, there are several poems that you can compare Kamikaze to. You can look at it in contrast to Charge of the Light Brigade, where you think both groups, the Light Brigade, the soldiers on horseback, and the Kamikaze pilot, have been given orders that appear ridiculous and obscene to us. The Kamikaze pilot defies those orders and comes back and brings shame and dishonour on his family. But the 600 in Tennyson's poem follow that order despite the apparent lunacy of it, and they are remembered forever with honour and pride and respect. So there's a massive difference there in the way the two groups of soldiers or combatants are treated. You can also compare it to any of the poems that deal with memory. So you could look at it in comparison to Poppies, where it's a woman having a very fond memory of her son that goes to war, in contrast to the very negative consequences of the soldier or the pilot coming back. You could also compare it to any of the poems that deal with death and dying as well, because he doesn't literally die, but he dies metaphorically. There's a lot in the poem, and probably not enough for me to do justice to within the 9 or 10 minutes that I've been talking, but hopefully, by listening to that, you've picked up some more bits and pieces and some useful nuggets that you may use if this poem comes up in the exam. All the best, Year 11, and look forward to hearing how it went tomorrow.